From a derelict spaceship in orbit generally above the Twin Cities, this is Evil Games Club. Do not attempt to adjust your device. We are controlling the transmission to tell Nice Games Club that they are wrong and dumb and that we know better.
I'm Dylan Skirbitz, and I'm up to no good.
I'm Adia Alderson, and I do what I want.
And I'm Dale LaCroix, and I hate everything. For this week's episodes, the tables are turned as your nice hosts gave us a game jam prompt, which we'll use to come up with a complete game by the end of the episode. Will it be better than any of their past efforts? We and you are about to find out.
You know, I just want to say, with the previous really high quality of all of these prompts, you know, this is going to be interesting to see, because I remember all previous Nice Games Club prompts as being pretty much, you know, of the highest acumen, you know, such insightful, you know, probing sort of design questions that really led to great games.
They were excellent, my boyfriend Dylan.
So who came up with this one?
This was Mark.
Did they agree to it together? Okay, so it's
Mark. And then
I want to know, you know, like, who the architect of my destruction is.
I think we came up with a good one, and I said, we'll see.
Yeah, I wait with bated breath.
And he was like, and he gave me the frowny face for that. So, do we want... Oh, I was going to say in the meta... Ludum Dare is happening, which is a games jam online sometime, probably when you're listening to this. I don't know, yes, because I'm not going to bother to do the calendar math.
Wow. A strong assertion right out the gate. We're nice. We're Evil Games Club. We're not your friends. Look,
we're not going to do math. So is there anything else anybody wanted to say before we get started? I was going to ask a very important question.
Go ahead.
How is Martha?
How is Martha?
Yeah, we have missed Martha.
Yeah, it's been a while since I talked to her.
Yeah, you know, the global pandemic is real. You know, especially for her, I think it's just sort of a constant toll. So
yeah,
beyond that, makes it great. Tough. You know, all happy and healthy. The cat's loud. Good. You know,
yeah,
the house is old.
You got a cat, and he's real cute.
Yes, we did get a cat.
What's his name?
Yes, he's very, very sweet. His name is Ati.
Ati? Is that from Ahti. Something?
It's a Finnish name from the Kalevala. It's like an old name for one of the Finnish heroes of their mythology. Mostly we named him for that because did either of you play Control?
It is on my to-do list after all the talking in the previous podcast.
Go play Control. My God, what a good game. I didn't say that enough, but wow, what a great game. I love Control, and it's very Finnish. Anyway, we named it after a character in that game, and I won't say anything more, but it is 100% worth your time, everyone. So good. And like I mentioned last time, the best accessibility items you can ask for. Like, really nice. You can decide to play that game pretty much however you want.
All right, so we're going to reveal the prompt. Here it is.
Drum roll.
Who's going to read it dramatically?
You are, Dylan.
Oh, sorry, I cut you off from reading it, I realize. Create a game you might find in a casino where the house always wins.
Oh, okay. I immediately think cards when I think of casino games. Knows. I don't know why.
I immediately think Hades, because the house always wins. Like roguelikes lend themselves to that very well.
Okay, so...
A card game. It's been a long time since I've designed a card game. We used to do that in high school. We would sit around and try and invent new card games. It's a lot harder than it looks.
Right? I remember having like the standard deck of cards, and then we'd be like, well, this means this, and this means this, and the weird rule sets and stuff like that. It was just, it always got too complicated.
I know there's another side note, but did either of you guys, I don't know how much you guys were into Pokemon, like, but did you ever make your own Pokemon cards as a kid, or like draw your own card game cards?
Because
I did that a ton.
I did that for Yu-Gi-Oh! So I was obsessed with Yu-Gi-Oh! Cards, and like, I would create new ones and stuff like that, and variations of others and stuff like that. But I couldn't play them with anyone, because if I brought them out, they'd be like, those aren't legal.
Exactly. I was over there like inventing my own Pokemon types and being like, ooh, here's my new twist on it. Just like these little pieces of paper that I just kept to myself.
Oh, I wonder where those are.
Oh, that's are. So cute, both of you.
I know we're getting way in the weeds now, but I remember those vividly because I found them when I was moving out of my parents' house, and it was right next to a like short story that I had written and illustrated as like a 6-year-old that was all about the Star Trek The Next Generation. And it was my own like continuation of the story after the like the Locutus stuff. So.
Oh my gosh.
I'll always remember that though. Star Trek, The Trip Back.
Starting that fan fiction life early.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Look for it on AO3 this summer.
Okay. So what are we thinking as far as the game? Do we want it to be card games?
I think that's cool.
We want it to be a physical card game that you would walk into a casino with your giant margarita thing and sit down at a table and play and lose all your money.
Well, yeah, I think we need to get creative here because, like, essentially, a game you might find in a casino where the house always wins is every game in a casino.
Yes.
Like, they're not set up to lose. So, like, I think we need to get, you know, more, like, far-fetched in our conception of win and lose. Like, what does it mean for the house to always win? To win everything? What sort of game keeps you coming back at with certain defeat? You know, not like the roguelike, oh, you grow a little bit, but like...
Doki Doki Literature Club.
I was going to say League of Legends, but same point.
Well, I was going to say a thing where... You play cards and give them money, but they also give you candy back. So you know you're going to get candy. It's just overpriced candy.
So you're just proposing a claw game, is what...
You don't always get candy in a claw game. But
Snuffy's on Snelling Avenue in St. Paul, you do.
Oh!
They have a play until you win claw game. I remember it vividly. Now, this is just reminding me of my childhood, man. Best place ever. Yeah, it's like a burgers and malt shop. Uh-huh. 25-cent play until you win candy. That's how you should do it.
Okay, yeah. So
this is really getting me thinking because, like, for the past like couple months, well, for me personally, I do a lot of interactive fiction games, so my brain is in like narrative game story mode. So I'm like, how does this fit with any of that? Because I wouldn't assume you would walk into a casino and play a story driven game.
No, they're kind of loud, but maybe.
Well, I kind of like that premise, though. Like, if it's a story-driven game, you have to have a reason to go in. So, like, mm-hmm. I'm thinking about, like sort of like a doomed love thing. Like, your ex is a dealer, and so you go in because every chance, every paycheck, you take it in, and you sit down, and you know you're going to lose, and you don't even have to play that in the game. But the key is those dialogue points that you get, you know, to try and, like, win this person over or something like that. So, yeah, it's a given that the house always wins, but just maybe that investment might be worth it.
That sounds kind of cool. I like that. And I'm trying to think, like, I my brain is currently in literal mode, and I get what you're saying, like, thinking outside of, like, what does house really mean? What does it mean by always win? What is a casino? Yeah. And, like, it doesn't say that the player can't be part of the house. Like, it could be like a story game where you are the casino in a house and like these people come in and you hear their sad stories and the people are telling you, you can't let them win because the house always wins.
That's such a good point. Holy crap. Then you have a game where you're the dealer and you have to flip the levers to keep them losing, but keep them thinking the game is fair. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so we could do something with like that as the premise.
Okay, so what about this? So in combining that with the card game thing. So you know there are a lot of games now like that are sort of like lie to your friends games, both in like the tabletop scene like Secret Hitler and then like the video games like Among Us and stuff like that.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Secret casino owner.
Well, here's what I'm thinking is a card game where you're trying to where everyone has the chance to affect like the deck, you know, affect what cards are drawn.
Uh-huh.
And one of them is on the side of the house. And you're trying to figure out who is like manipulating the deck in that way before like, you know, some timer runs out or before some number of hands are played.
I like number of hands.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that. So what if it's like this? So there are some games where, you know, you're trying to build, you know, either like a poker style game, where you're trying to build specific card hands that are ideal. And so every player on their turn gets to like pick up a certain number of cards and exchange them for the cards they have in their hand to try and build
a good,
you know, consecutive or run or whatever. But all of the players except for the secret house person have to follow a certain rule, like you can only trade same colors for same colors, or you can only trade twos for twos or whatever. And that secret person doesn't have to do any of that. So there's got to be a way that you can see that.
Well, maybe we could do it where, like, each person starts out with, like, a starter deck, but the dealer's deck has enough to win the game, like, just out of the gate in their hand. And the goal is that they want to place, but however many turns, like, if it takes four turns, they can use the four cards to win. But everyone has them sporadically out, so, like, someone else. So if you're like, okay, I can't do just win in four turns, they're going to realize, like, oh, that person's the dealer, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. something happens and they get called out. But for example, if you just happen to be lucky and you got three of the things, you would then be like, oh no, I'm not the dealer. I'm actually just doing. So if someone accused you and you actually don't have the dealer's deck, and that person, is out of the game, and then you keep going, but the real person's dealer is like, okay, well, that person's really lucky. Should I just throw my hands now so I can win so they don't win? And so it's this back and forth of like, if you see someone who's doing too well, you're like, okay, I gotta curb this now so that, you know, I could win. Something like that, in essence.
So what about a system where, so like I was saying, if people have an opportunity to draw cards and then replace them according to a system, mm-hmm. What if for at least some of this, you are drawing and replacing on the top of the deck? So there's a little bit of a go fish mentality where the next person is going to get to see what you put down. Mm-hmm. And so if you're sitting next to the dealer, the things you would be putting down would make less sense, you know? Like, if mm-hmm. you start to see that, okay, this guy's going for, you know, like, all reds or something like that, and then they just drop a bunch of blacks out of nowhere or something like that, it means that they have been able to, like, switch cards that normal players wouldn't. Maybe something like that.
Mm, yeah, possibly. This is also making me appreciate card games a lot more. I've been playing, who were we playing recently? That was really fun. Oh gosh, I can't remember. But like I look at my collection of like board games and physical games. There's very few just pure card games that like I play regularly. I know I play Uno,
uh-huh. classic.
A ton of games, but like the only ones I think that I have are similar to the ones we're thinking about, like Avalon and what's the one with like the space and you have the like different. Why am I blanking on that one? It's very similar to Avalon and it has a similar lane, but it's the same premise where each person has a role and those you can lie and pretend you have a different role and do something and continue going until like you reveal and stuff like that. But I guess for your system where you're like, your person is picking up a card, kind of a go fish mentality, how would they see the previous person's card? I guess I'm a little confused
you
on that.
You discard face up.
Oh, no, I was thinking the opposite. I was thinking of a setup situation where you draw and replace the top of the deck. So the person before you gets to choose what cards you get. So as the dealer, you have an unprecedented ability to see what kind of cards, you know, like maybe we require that people like declare a suit or something. So like you have some like sort of like poker where you want to have half the story. But if you know that someone is like, I'm declaring I'm going for a red flush, and then you're just giving them, you know, like cards you know don't work for them, it might be an indication that you have the ability to pick up and put down whatever cards you want, whereas other people have to play by these certain rules, like, you know, exchanging things across a number or something like that.
How would they get that ability without other people knowing that they can, like, put down and replace? Because I'm assuming, like, you have your set that you start with. Like, how would you get more to like, okay, I'm going to
So every player does the same thing. So every player gets to draw a certain number of cards and look at that and replace them with cards from their hand. But the idea would be that the non-cheaters would have to do that according to rules.
Oh, and so the cheater would have a suit. Like, right. I can only pick up sevens and hearts. I can only pick up whatever and whatever.
Or I can only trade sevens for sevens or something like that. Whereas the dealer just picks them up, sees which ones are good for his hand or which ones will mess up the player that's next in line, and then drop them.
Oh. Okay, it's clicking now. It's clicking in my head.
Okay.
So the question is, how do we keep a little more card rotation? Because if we're just drawing and placing on the top of the deck, that means whatever our pickup size is, whether it's, you know, three cards or it's five cards or whatever, we're going to have the rest of the deck not touched. So that means a lot of cards won't see play. So how do we do that and still keep that tracking of the deck?
Okay, so I'm going to open up a tabletop simulator and we'll pull out a deck of cards so we can just play around with them. If that's okay with everybody. I've never used tabletop simulator.
I don't have tabletop simulator. How
that's that okay. I have it, and so then we'll actually...
You're just going to stream it?
Yep, I'm just going to stream it.
Okay.
Once I figure out how to do that. On Mark's computer. I'm like, mine just pops up when I type in tabletop simulator, but now I'm going to just go in and open Steam.
Yeah. The thing is, I haven't listened to the last few Game Jams. There's one I listened to, not the others. Have they done a physical game yet?
Oh, that's all they've been doing.
That's what I assumed they did because
so from what it sounded like, from what I've heard people say about it, it sounds like they mostly do the physical stuff. Which is good, because that's a good way to get like ideas out, you know.
Right. Yeah, no, that makes sense, because I feel like it would be hard to like... No, but interactive fiction, you just have to write the story and add the thing. So you could
see that is a huge advantage of that. I like that because like we could literally just finish like the game, and then the only thing is like slotting it into a a point and click generator mold. Like we could just do that. But yeah, it's a lot much harder to prototype. You're like, yeah, I'm envisioning Castlevania, but we really take advantage of triple jumps. Like, okay, well, show me how that works.
Right. All right.
No. Oh man, this is getting me like I'm actually really excited doing this. There's a lot of game jams coming up. Speaking of interactive fiction, Intro Comp is coming up soon. That's usually around June. And then the interactive fiction competition, IF Comp, is later on in the year. So if you're looking for competitions for interactive fiction, those are really good. Spring Thing is currently going on. So if you want to vote and kind of see the stuff that's going on, please check it out. We love readers. We love voters. We love people to kind of see and be a part of the interactive fiction community. So in that game jam. And then I guess Ludum Dare as well, as we mentioned at the beginning. I'm trying to think of any others that are like big ones that are coming out. Oh, on itch.io, there's the OST jam. I didn't get to do the first one, but I'm planning on doing the second one. They have a volume 2 where a bunch of kind of music creators create soundtracks. And that's it. They'll just create a ton of soundtracks. So you'll get a huge folder with like 50 to 60 soundtracks. And you're like, make a game with these soundtracks. And nice. I think it's just a really cool premise. And it's a really good to get ideas generating, because you're listening to music and like, oh, I see it. I envision it. I know what I must do.
That's really cool. Yeah. Right? That sounds awesome.
Oh. Okay. Ooh.
I have to press okay. I see it. I see the grass. Flip the table. I demand it. This is where we really need to transition into a visual podcast so that we can capture the nuance of watching you play Tabletop Simulator.
Right? Like, I feel, same, because I'm making all these, like, hand gestures and expressions as I'm doing stuff, and I'm like, no one's going to see it.
No. Okay.
So what I should be streaming our conversation while we're making the podcast, and we'll just charge premium for that.
Okay, so I have a deck of cards. How many cards do you think each person should get?
Ooh, that's a good question. So there's 52 cards in deck, right?
Yep. I was thinking 5 because of poker.
Yes, smaller than 7 is good for things like poker where you're doing matches. 7 card, when you get your, like, trying to put together hands, means you get a lot of options, which sometimes makes it hard.
I'm going to start with 5.
I do think it's funny that I never realized until now that our initials... Wait, this doesn't make any sense.
You're S for Skirbits.
First of all, how dare you? Second of all...
I'm L for LaCroix.
Oh, yeah, I guess we have... Man, you alliterative people make this so much harder.
What?
Like, Adia.
Hmm?
The alliterative people. People whose names, like Martha and Adia, whose first and last names begin with the same letter, creating a flowing sound, but it also makes it hard to tell what you mean, because you definitely just took a table and wrote ASL on it. And I lived on, like, you know, chat sites in the 90s, so I just see age, sex, location.
My goodness.
No, I really like my alliteration. Like, in the events that I would need to change it, like marriage or whatever, I'm not changing it. I'm going to be a Dia Alderson until the day I die.
Oh, for sure. Martha and I have already agreed, if we have, like, all the girl kids get McGarry, and they're all going to be alliterative, because you can't fucking miss that chance.
No, it's such a great thing. I really like it when the first name is the last name's match.
So right now, everybody has a pair.
Yes. Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah. So I get what you're saying with, like, if people are just picking stuff up, like, nobody's putting their cards back into the deck. And so we need a mechanic that would force people to put cards back. I know they're switching out.
Oh, here's what we could do. We could have a mechanic for... So we could do what Dale was saying, and you discard your cards into a discard pile, and then we give people an option of drawing from the discard pile.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Okay. I think that would be great, because then on your turn, you get to choose whether you draw from the discard pile, which means directly trading your cards. So those are obvious like choices where like you have to follow the rules, even if you're the liar, let's call them, mm-hmm. because otherwise people would immediately tell that you're the liar. Mm-hmm. Or you can draw from the top of the deck, which is more secretive, and they only see what you drop down. So you can do that if you just don't see anything good in the discard because you're a player and following the rules. Or you mm-hmm. can do that as the liar to get your advantage if you think that you can fake people out into thinking that you're just playing normally.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So the biggest thing now is how many can you draw on your turn? Is only one? You know, like exchange one for one? How many do we allow them to do?
Oh, okay. Let's try something out. So
let's workshop it. Let's start at one and see what this looks like, just going around.
Okay. So I have a pair of eights, so I'm going to draw one and then I'll have to discard one.
Yeah. And let's start with our rules as blanket to say you can only trade same number for same number or same color for same color. And let's just leave it at that and see what it looks like.
Okay. So here I have so my hand is eight of diamonds, eight of clubs, jack of spades, six of diamonds, 10 of diamonds. And I drew a jack of clubs. Now, what is my goal to get in my hand?
I think you want to get a match, like a four of something, right?
I want to get all four of some card.
And like, do you want to say it has to be the same color?
If we're going to be thinking about this poker style, there's a huge variation. You know, like there's a lot of hands you can put together. So let me quick look up the list of poker hands.
Yeah, we should have a win condition so people know what they're aiming for.
Yeah. So if I can only trade one up or one, or if I can only trade that like for like, I can't make a pair because I would have to have that in order to flip it out.
Well, no, eight and your...
Yeah, you could trade the eight of clubs for the jack of clubs because they're same suit.
Yeah.
And then you have two jacks.
But which is better than two eights.
You wouldn't necessarily want to do it, but the whole idea is that you, as the like regular player, have restrictions. You don't get to make the good choices because you have to do these equivalent trades. So that's how you're supposed to be able to suss out who the one who's winning is.
Okay. So now I have a pair of jacks instead of a pair of eights, so I'm doing great.
Yeah, okay. So a moderate increase. You're now winning.
Okay.
Well, yeah, because the other two jacks are red, right?
Right.
And so she has three red cards, so the likelihood she can trade a red for red is higher now, because she has the two blacks. Oh, strategy's coming along.
Okay, so Dylan has two spade, four of spade, four of diamonds, king of hearts.
Why are we going counterclockwise? This is satanic. Oh,
sorry. Because we're evil. Okay, Adia has two of hearts, three of hearts, five of hearts, 10 of hearts. Okay, so we're going to make her draw one if I can pick up a single card. Nope.
There we go.
All right. And she just picked up the 10 of hearts. So the queen of hearts. Sorry, I'm looking at the 10 Z. Okay, so she can trade same color or same suit.
But who's... And we'll make you the dealer then, Dylan.
Sure, so we'll say... I don't have to follow any rules.
Yeah, so okay. And I'm assuming I want to get as many as possible. Like, I don't know how many matches we call a win. Would it be four? How much do you get in Bidwiz?
So straight match doesn't matter at all. It's only if they're match and they're in order, or they don't match and they're in order. Those are the things that are valuable in poker, at least. So if we want to, we can just say, yeah, like you score an extra, you know, let's, you know, 2 points for every matching one. You know, we could do this cribbage style where we mark different point totals at the end or something like that.
How would they say it as simple as possible? If you get four of something, that's a pair, and you put it down. So you get four fours, four eights, four jacks, if whatever. And then like we can have, if you get to so many, you win. So if you notice someone's racking them up really quickly.
So yeah, at what point do you have to play? Like, so at what point do you have to declare matches? Are you laying down cards like you would in Go Fish, or are you holding these till the end and everyone drops their hand and compares them?
I think once you have a match, you have to put it down. I think that should be it, because then people would just hold matches until like the end and be like,
Yeah. So then we don't need to worry about complex hands. Like you're saying, the simpler the better.
Yeah. I like that. So in this case, Adia would have put down her fives. And then she would have
no, because she's waiting for four of them.
Yeah, so I'm looking for four of them.
You're
so
never gonna get four of them. Oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah, under our current rules, you can't get four of them.
Oh yeah, because they're all red. Oh, so how do we fix that?
Yeah, you well, have to wait until you
do. You just lose, because the whole point is that like the dealer is supposed to be like at some point obviously better.
Or I could say I want to discard my hand, and you get a brand new hand, and your cards get shuffled back in the deck until you get something that's more likely to get to where you want to go. You're like, okay, I have a bad hand. I have all reds. This won't work. I'm going to discard my hand and pick five more.
So is it just whoever lays down their four of a kind first?
I think you have to do multiple. So it's not just the first one. And so like, I would have to choose. Do I draw? Oh, go ahead.
So if you, once you have four fives, you lay them down and then yes. You have one card in your hand left.
I mean, assuming you draw back up, right? You draw to five.
Yeah.
Okay. So, then you draw back.
Yeah. And then you draw back.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. So let's pretend I didn't draw yet. So if you want to flip that queen back on. And I notice, all right, like, I have a terrible hand. I have all reds. I'm going to be like, okay, I'm going to discard my hand and draw five more.
Okay. You don't want to be like, okay, you know, I have two fives. I'll wait.
No, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to say,
But you could potentially wait until you draw a black 10, and then you can throw out your other 10, and then boom, you have a black.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because it'd be 10 and 10.
Because, yeah, with the eventually you could probably get some black cards in there because you have 3, 5, and 10 to look for.
Yeah. Okay. So then I'm going to switch my 2 for my queen then.
Okay.
So I forgot it could be same.
Well, I mean, these rules have been nebulous anyway, so yeah, it was and wasn't. Now it is. I like that rule.
Okay.
Because, make sure I got it. So you can trade same color or same, like, type.
Currently, we were saying same color or same number. I'm open to suggestions on that one, though. Because trading by same number doesn't work very well if we're just going for sets of fours, of, you know? Because then it would never be advantageous. Well, that's not true.
Am I 10 for a black 10? And so if I get a black 3, then I have same color and I can switch those 3.
Yep, you're totally right. So yes. Okay, same color or same number. Simple rules.
Yes. Okay. All right.
Okay, Dylan, you draw do you want to pick up that 2 of hearts?
Yes, I do. And I'll do it with my 7 of hearts.
Ah, so it makes like you're trading color for color.
Exactly. I'm following the rules.
Yeah.
Oh, you appear to be following the rules. Must not be the house. Okay. I am going to not pick up that 7. I'm going to pick up whatever this is, which is flip. It is a 9. I could trade my jack for that 9, but I don't want to, so I'm going to put it down. Okay, Adia, you want to pick up that black 9? You can't.
I can't.
Legally.
All right. So legally. All right. Let's pick a card.
So we're going to flip this. You got a 6 of hearts.
So,
you can trade a card for it if you want.
I think I'm just going to,
I mean, it doesn't really matter. It's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
In this case, it is a better idea not like to not take the 6, but she doesn't know that because she can't see your hand.
Yeah, yep. So I'm just going to like, nah, I'm good. That's
okay. Not. Okay, Dylan, you want the 6 of hearts or you want a new card?
I want a new card.
No, I'm trying to give you the whole deck.
Oh, thanks.
just the whole deck.
The house always wins. Takes your cards.
Okay, you got a 7 of clubs.
I can't take that legally, but just for fun, let's say that I have a plan, so I'm going to trade that for my king.
Okay, done. You now have a 7. Okay,
no one knows what you picked up, so for all they know, you picked up another red card.
Right.
Yep, yeah. Okay. Boom! Okay. Flip. Okay, I picked up a black 7. I want to discard that. Adia. I'm assuming you do not want that black 7 because you have no 7.
She can't take it.
Okay, you picked up a black ace. Boring.
Nothing I can do with that. Oh man, I'm having a rough time.
Well, yeah, let's take a second because we've gone around a couple times with the one card. It seems like one card both produces really slow play and gives very few options to people who have, say, like a monochrome hand. So maybe we should try scaling this up. On the next round, let's try doing 2 cards for everyone around. And then you can, you know, like mix and match which ones you choose. You still have to follow the rules unless you're me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
So Dylan, I'm flipping this for you.
Yeah, well, we started with you, right? So yeah, this will be the last one around here.
You got an ace. And I see that,
which, ooh. So the problem is I don't want to drop that because then there are 2 aces sitting on the stack and someone could start grabbing them. But I don't have anything I can legally trade without losing a card. And now I've just dropped one face I've dropped a red face, and now I'm immediately going to drop a black non-face. So yeah, I obviously want to trade that for the 7.
Okay.
You know, like that would be a no-brainer. Okay, 7. But now I've dropped an interesting type of cards, whereas with Adia, you can see it's obvious which cards she has, you know?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I'm going to pick 2, maybe. I drew a 5 diamonds and an 8 of spades. So I have...
Ooh, it sucks for you.
Nothing that is a good choice. Discarding those.
All right, so I could draw, but there is now a 5 in there. While I do have 2 red 5s, the black 5 would give me an advantage that I could start switching with black cards. But I probably don't want to do that because I do have 2. So I'm going to draw 2, even though that could have been a strategy.
Yeah, and this is, I think, where we're hitting a problem because now you can never win with 5s.
Unless how far back can you grab them? Well, that's the question, is how far back in the deck can you go to grab things?
I think, I feel like you can just...
I thought it would be only the top card, but that's just...
I'm just asking, you know, but that's the, you know, like... Uh-huh. Does it make this game too easy if you can pick from anything of the deck?
I feel like if we're drawing 2, you should be able to draw 2 from the discard deck.
But that means that we have a huge... Well, so what happens when we run out of cards? Are we just going to cycle them back in?
So if you know the next person's going to pick, everything that's discard gets shuffled back and put as the pull again. And so you recreate the...
So that we're just going to keep running through this as pairs are created, it will just get simpler and faster every run through. Okay.
Yeah.
So right now this game speed is like picking up really fast because your turns, if you're not me, are going to be really simple most of the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah. So let's go with this right now. So say the 5 is nice and probably worth grabbing if you want to switch things, but you're never going to get your goal. Because as soon as the only 5. Thing you can trade for is a 5. So you have to accept that hand is bad and we move on. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to draw 2 from the deck.
Okay, hold on. If we're reshuffling, I think this is a mistake.
You think what is a mistake? Drawing 2?
Yeah, I would have picked up that 5 because then at least I have 1 black card in my hand.
Oh. Oh, I see. You're thinking of a different strategy. Well, we shall see. So let me see. I know that there is a red king in that deck. I remember seeing it. So if I'm remembering playing through, I can remember what I saw. And I'm like, okay, was there a 2 that was drawn and put in the discard? I don't remember.
Or do we like right now I just have the discards strewn about, but.
So no, because I drew a 2. I didn't I just drew the two. So I haven't seen any twos so far. So to you, those are, one of them is a dead card because the king's not coming back for a while, and the two is just wild.
Yeah. So yeah, I should have picked for the discard, but that's okay. We're learning. So those go back to the other thing. I'm not switching for any of mine right now.
Okay.
Ah, and see, I see this. So do you have to draw? Well, I don't want to draw. So first of all, I don't want to draw. Obviously, I'm going to take that too. That's my first concern. Mm-hmm. But so if I draw two cards, do I have to switch both of them, or can I only switch one of them?
I think you can only switch one of them.
So I will just swap my two for the ace then. No brainer. Mm-hmm. And that makes sense. Now people know I have twos, but I haven't done anything unethical to get them so far. Okay. Oh, no, this is good. Okay. This is good because I've now dropped an ace that I picked up that I have twice dropped wrong cards on. So it's starting to get weird now. The things that I've dropped are a king, a seven, and an ace.
Ace, okay. Yeah.
So I drew two from the deck. I picked up a three of spades.
Wow, what are the odds? My God.
Of clubs.
I don't know if this is just, we just have a bad draw, or... Do we need to tweak the rules?
They're going to happen, right? Yeah. I think that's the answer, is that if we feel like it's a bad draw, we need to tweak something. You know, like, I guess we should give the players a little more agency if this is feeling like... Because neither of you have taken a card in two rotations.
Yeah.
So, like...
Yeah,
so, true. But I know what I'm going to do in my thing. She dropped a three.
And a five.
And a five.
Mm-hmm. So
can I do a double play?
I don't see why not.
If you want to trade them both, that makes sense to me.
So, like, I take a three and I switch, put my three down.
Okay.
And then I switch the black three I got for the five.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that's totally valid. That makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So she ends up with three fives, and she's now dropped two threes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So realistically, I don't care about that because those are dead threes as soon as I'm done with my turn. I'll just draw.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Boop. Okay. Got a... Okay, you have a three.
Wow.
And a jack. What are you going to do?
Holy cow. So I know, first of all, that you picked up a jack, Dale. Right? Mm-hmm. Because you picked one up on the first turn.
I picked one up on the first turn, but I drew from the
Oh yeah, you deck. didn't draw from the Discord. So it doesn't matter. So I have no knowledge about that. So I don't know that you drew a jack, so those aren't valuable to me. But the three is a huge problem because
I can just pick up a couple threes.
Okay, so if we're shuffling these back in the deck, I can't go back and
pick up more than two. So
right. I'm actually going to keep the three,
okay,
and discard the jack. And the card that I will switch out is going to be my black four, I think. So technically a legal move.
Yeah, but you know that the threes are going to be shuffled back in.
Right.
But you have no idea who has fours.
Yes, but this sets up an idea or an opportunity for Dale, because now there's a jack at position two. So she could technically find a way, theoretically, to grab it.
How did that...
I don't know. The shuffling got weird. But the jack should certainly be, like... I think, from our discarding rules, that should be...
I'm going to pick up this jack. And that's easy. Do I have to pick up two? I don't have to pick up two. So I'm just going to pick up that jack. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we've said any combination of the top two.
Yep. And then now you know... I'm going for jacks.
The funny thing is that my advantage has afforded me nothing so far. We are all in exactly equal game states, and we started in equal game states. We all started with a pair. We have all built it up to exactly a triplet.
Oh, that's so weird. You're right.
Okay.
It is interesting, though, listening to this, because I feel like it's going to sound like those Pokemon. Okay, and he's sitting there. He's traded his ace for... That may not be the best move, but so far we haven't seen that many pop up. All right, I think Julia's going to take a 6. That would be the smart move. I was going to do it.
Okay.
Alderson's dropped a 2. She's not aware that, that Skirbitz has been pocketing these. We'll see if this tips her off.
Okay. All right, Adia, 2 new cards?
Yeah, there's nothing on the first 2 on the top deck. It don't really afford me anything.
Flipping them, you got a 7 of diamonds and an 8 of hearts.
Yeah, because the thing is, like, for me to even get any closer to my goal, because right now, I guess, for the people listening, right now, I have a 5 of hearts, a 5 of clubs, and a 5 of spades. I have a queen of hearts and a 10 of hearts. And I need to get the other black 5. I can't do that unless I have another black card to trade with. So my goal is I need to gain either a black queen or a black 10 to trade for first. So I have a black card and then pray that the black 5 pops up for me to switch and make a match. So that's my current thinking and strategy. And so far I pulled a 7 and 8, so I'm discarding those because they're going to do nothing for me right now.
Okay. Well, and especially both of those, there are already 2 7s and 3 8s in that pile. So you know for sure no one else is grabbing those this round. Those are free burns.
Okay. Okay. Dylan, what would you like? 2 cards?
Well, actually, I'm going to grab just swap the 4 for the 3 because that's a nice legal trade.
It is. That puts you back
this
in the
4 for that 3.
Yep. And the odds of someone having 2 cards to trade for the 2 threes is pretty low.
Okay.
Yeah.
Case in point, neither of you have the cards to trade for both 3. I guess technically you could if you wanted to burn your jacks, but
okay.
Yeah. So now the stack is 2 threes and it's your turn.
Okay, so I'm going to take 2 new cards and flip them over, and I got a 9 of spades and a 10 of clubs.
Yay.
I do not know what's going through Adia's mind right now, but I am going to...
And the last jack is red, so neither of these are particularly useful to you, because the thing that you are most focused on is a red card.
Yep, and so I'm going to drop... Ooh, that makes 2. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm gonna just drop these 2. I'm going to just pick up and discard the same cards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, Adia, 2 new cards for you?
No.
She's got
dropped.
A 10 right there. You dropped the magic card. Adia's hot on this.
Okay, Adia's trading 10. A 10 for a 10. Hold on. Sorry.
Yes.
Tabletop is fun and I'm not great.
So funny watching you fling the 2 cards around.
Right?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So this puts Dylan. Me in a much better.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
So I don't care about any of these cards, so I'm going to go for a double draw again.
Okay. Here you go. What did you get? Flip. You got a... Ooh!
Oh, mamma mia.
He got the 2 of clubs.
So I haven't seen any queens in this stack. Yeah. And I've revealed 4s before. So this is perfect. So I'll swap the 2 for the 4 and then drop my 2s and draw up to full. So I'm going to discard the queen and swap the 2 for the 2 of clubs for the 4 of spades.
Okay, hold on. Okay. So you have 1 set. Yes, there you go.
So I had my nice set. So I dropped that, and now I'm on the board.
Yes, okay, you are on the board.
You're dropping that.
We even decided how many you have to get for a win, right?
Do you have to discard this, or do you pre-discard it? Okay.
Yeah, because I wouldn't draw up until the end of my turn, right? It doesn't, like, it just gets, there are too many things that it is too hard to track the cards if you don't know where they're coming from in that sense.
Okay, there. Enjoy your new cards. You're not allowed to look at them yet.
Oh, I'm not allowed to build strategy just because I'm the liar.
Okay, fine. See your cards. They look like that. I am not drawing two
those
cards.
Those are really good cards, though. I know that because I've seen so many threes. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh!
And see, she literally just drew a natural set right there.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So then I discard for that thing that I'm going to put down. Goodbye. 10.
You still have 6 cards. I think you have to discard another one.
Yep. I'm trying to hold on. Me and my set.
I believe in you.
Me and my set of jacks are doing great. Okay. Okay. There we go. Now I'm going to discard something. I see a queen there, so that seems like a bad one to discard. So I'm going to discard my 6.
Okay, so just keep track. Four. The top two cards are now a 6 and a 10, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
No, I just wanted to make sure.
Me and Tabletop Simulator, we're great, but not great.
I like how it does show, like, for you, you have, like, a hand that works in the game, and you can, like, flip the cards in the hand, and our cards are just strewn about the table.
Yeah, well, watch me mess stuff up. Okay.
Yeah, you keep flipping, okay. But one card flips the opposite way.
It's so good. This is physical comedy, I swear.
Okay. Enjoy that, listeners. All right.
That's also an impactful hand, because now you and I are secretly fighting over queens with Adia, and we don't even know it.
Yep, right? Okay. Okay. Adia, what would you like to do? You can pick up the 6 or maybe a 10, I don't remember, or you could pull two new cards.
Pull two new cards.
1, 2. Flip, you got an ace and a 4. Mm. What would you like to do?
Yeah, there's not.
Just going to discard these two?
Wait.
But you've seen that I've been messing around with fours pretty constantly. Yeah. So you've only seen me pick up and drop one, but it's been multiple times and I took it back.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I probably don't want any of those, but I haven't seen anyone mess with ace, but there's nothing I'm going to trade with. Well, no. Yeah, I think I'm going to. I know there's a 10, two 10s in the deck, so I'm not going to switch my 10 out unless someone else picks up 10. So I think I'm going to discard those. Because neither of them I have much knowledge about. This feels like poker.
It's poker, but at the end, one person just loses instead of one person wins.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're discarding those cards.
Yeah.
And I will immediately grab that 4 for my 3.
I'll be a minute while I try to manipulate to give you a 4.
Yeah, no worries.
Okay. Try that 4. Now we got a 3. I do not want a stupid 3. I'm going to draw two new cards.
Can I see my 5th card, please? I can only see 4.
You made your decision, and I told you you didn't get to see it.
You told me I didn't get to see any of them, so I feel like the rules are constantly changing. Like U.S. border laws. This is bullshit.
I feel like I should have a drink in hand. Like, I don't know.
Uh-huh. Okay.
What would I order? If I was sitting here at an actual casino and I had to order a drink, what would I get? Manhattan.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Gin gimlet for me. That's my fancy
lime. Very good.
They're so good. Just like pure lime. If you don't want to taste anything, gin gimlet is basically just lime juice.
Right? It's disgusting. So good.
Oh, it's so good.
So okay. One thing I didn't learn, I didn't know tonic water was sweetened. Like I thought it was just fizzy water. So my sister has started bartending classes. And so she's been,
you didn't know
that's
that?
Why drinks are in my mind, because she's been like mixing them and making them here and there and stuff like that. And so like I'm learning about all these stuff and things
that's
like that.
So cool.
Right, yeah. Okay. And so I'm sitting here and I'm like, she's like, oh, it's just tonic water, lime, and gin. And I was like, where's the flavor? But I tasted it. I was like, oh, it's really good, because tonic water has a ton of sugar in it.
Yeah, it's so surprising, because like as a kid you're like, ugh, this is terrible, and then like when you have to drink it alongside alcohol, like the alcohol is so astringent, it like brings out the flavor in the tonic water. It's such a weird. I love gin and tonics. That's honestly like my go-to like mixed drink. So yes, I'll wax platonic about that all day.
Oh boy. Okay.
Sorry, we were playing a card game, not drink.
We were playing a card game.
I already finished my podcast beer, so I'm not even.
I threw out my queen. And I traded it for an ace, and I traded king for something black.
Okay.
There's four. Interesting. I think, maybe.
Okay.
Yes, and it would be that four, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to draw two again, because as of yet, I have yet to see someone place down a five or pick up a five.
I don't think that's true, because this is the last card.
I bet it's a five.
No, it's so a nine.
Where was the five?
Where's the five?
Did we drop it really early on? Oh, no, we did. Remember? It was the first thing you saw, and you couldn't pick it up because it was black and you had no black cards. So you literally, you know there's a five in there, and there's no point in doing anything until we get back to it, because it's way at the bottom.
But I only picked one card, so at this point, everything is shuffled in.
Just shuffle it in, right?
And I get one more card.
One chance.
Might magically be that five I've been looking for.
I just want to say, for the listeners at home, we're watching Dale play 52 pickup now, and it's very entertaining.
Tabletop is its own thing, and Dale's not super great at moving the cards around.
You're doing great. It's the limitations of the technology.
Yeah, no, yeah, you're doing amazing. I'm assuming there's a shuffle command.
there is.
I blame bats.
Blame what?
Bats.
Bats? For me not being able to,
Have you ever seen that meme where it's like the guy knocking down the tiny domino and then it builds up until there's a giant domino and it like has the tiny domino is captured with like a small thing and the giant domino is like some world changing event? So this is basically like the tiny domino is a bat gets sick in China and then the world event is us not getting to play cards in person.
I get it now. Okay. Yeah, you press the letter R for shuffle.
We do not know the origin of the coronavirus yet. There's still only speculation.
Are you shuffling or are you just doing that cool, like, flippy trick?
This shuffles it. In Tabletop Simulator, you press the R button for shuffle or roll. But I call it randomize, and I say, randomize. Yeah, it doesn't show you. It shows you a dumb animation instead of, like, an animation of things actually.
Okay, what's the second card, though?
Ready? Drumroll, please.
Come on, money. David.
Eight of spades. Yeah, throw like,
this
these
is actually
both?
A game where if you remember, like, I remember a lot of people putting down eights. I think there's a decent amount of eights in the deck, so I'm going to switch my 10 for my eight, because I know there's those in the deck. And it's still a black card, so if a black five comes up, at the very least, I know I can switch it out for it. Or if I see someone take my five, at least I have one of the cards that I can start building up.
Okay.
Which no one should at this point. Like, if someone took my five, I'd be really suspicious.
Like, yeah, especially because I just shuffled it back in and you're the only player who's gone.
I disagree entirely. I watched you make a two-card trade just to get a five. Oh, I'm watching your five so hard now. You're the only person to do the draw one, play, like, draw one, discard one, draw one. So
yes, I have.
I got my eye on those fives. But more to the point, I have my eye on that 10, which I will swap for my queen.
Because at this point, I have
no idea.
You're
picking up both of the cards or just the 10?
And I don't know that anyone else has queens either, so.
Okay, so you can add a 10 and a goodbye queen. Okay, you don't want to swap this 9 for anything? Cool. That's
no, because I can't. I'll be revealed as a liar if I do, or lose my 4s. Neither one's a good option.
Okay.
So I guess when someone gets suspicious, like, what do they do? Like, when's the reveal? Because in like those other games like Avalon or whatever, you have a chance to accuse, and if you choose correctly or not, there's either a penalty or a loss. Or is this something where like you have to do it, like that's the whole thing, is like there is a dealer?
You just lose all your money. It's cool. It's a casino.
Well, that's worth discussing. So with the number of players, it's difficult to be like to get multiple chances, because like you can only be wrong twice, or technically you can only be wrong once in this.
Ooh,
so you don't get.
What if? Okay, so let's say I was like, okay, Dylan's real suspicious, and so I'm like, okay, Dylan, I think you're the dealer, and if I'm correct, and you are the dealer, there's three. We can have like three separate cards, like. draw where like we all now have to redo roles because I was correct because you've been found out. And so the bowl gets shuffled and you pick again, and you could just be the dealer again if you pick up like your little paper from the hat says dealer, but there's a chance that other people get to do it. So the house rotates depending on who you are, but we have to make it expensive to do this because if that's the case, you just keep calling people dealer until eventually you get dealer. But if I accuse you and I'm wrong, then I lose my hand. I have to discard my hand and pick a brand new set, which is going to be expensive for me because I'm like, I'm almost at my five. But it also gives a way out. If I'm like, okay, you took my five. If I'm wrong, I don't even really need my hand. But that might not be a good idea.
So
could be strategy.
Here's my suggestion is what if we did it instead? So what if we scored this outside the cards? So we're just trying to make sets. And the whole game is based around figuring out who the dealer is, right? Because that's mm-hmm. the whole thing is trying to figure out who's playing you. So what if we just make it simple? You accuse, like you say, so there's a secret, like everyone draws from a hat. One of them is always the dealer. You accuse someone of being the dealer and they have to tell you, like they have to say, yes, I am or no, I'm not. And then it switches no matter what. And if you're right and you call the dealer correctly, you get a point. If you don't call the dealer correctly, you lose a point. So the dealer is just trying to play to get someone else accused as the dealer. So like we're trying to get our cards and stuff, but essentially the game ends as soon as someone accuses, because then we have to do our shuffle and start again.
But then that creates a problem, because like if I accuse you right away and I'm right, how many points do I need to get to? And if I'm wrong, do I lose a point then?
Right, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, and there are negative points would be the idea. So everyone starts at zero, but if you get it wrong and you haven't gotten it right, you're just at negative one. And we say that the score, like, you know, points to win is like three or something. So ideally you'd play like maybe four or five rounds of this pretty quickly until someone thinks they know who the dealer is.
Oh, and then once that is, then all the cards go back in and we start the game again. Yeah. And it's a new dealer.
Exactly. And so, then we draw again. So you just, whoever is best at figuring out who the dealer is can make accusations multiple times. But if you are the dealer, your goal is to put like, is to try and keep suspicion off yourself.
Yeah. And so I guess when we're making the pairs, is there any benefit? Do you get a point for making a pair too?
I was thinking you would just keep all the same card. You would keep your pairs or your set. And if you made a wrong call, you have to put your set back in the deck and reshuffle.
Well, yeah, but that makes more sense, like working within the game. Because as Adia points out, there is the problem that if you're the dealer and you just play badly, like then it's hard to get found out. So there needs to be an incentive to play well.
If you're playing badly as the dealer, holding on to that deal rogue gets you no advantages. You're the same as every other player in it. But if you play it as the dealer and just don't get called out on it, then because there's the cost to calling somebody out is you lose a whole set, which was a lot of work.
Well, what if we don't even like...
I have an idea.
What if we give... Go ahead.
Okay, so what if the sets are permanent? So we do this like we say that everyone, you know, like shuffle after an accusation is made, all your hands are shuffled back in, et cetera, and it's redealt. But the sets are taken out permanently. You count those as like each set is a point. So you're still trying to accumulate the most sets over these games, and the deck gets smaller every time, so it's harder and harder to cheat. But there's still the incentive to like accuse someone and finish the game, because sometimes you'll want to take that hit. Like even if, you know, if someone is not the dealer and they've gotten, you know, three like points already, you know, they've collected three sets, it might be in your interest to just try and reset it in the hopes that you might be the dealer. So you can accuse them. If you're right, you get a point. If you're wrong, you only lose one and they've already accumulated three.
Wait. Are we doing points again then?
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying is do both. So sets count for points and accusations count for points. Because then you have a way to win even if you're not the dealer technically, because if you're just extremely lucky, you're going to get a bunch of sets. And if someone accuses you, they take the hit. So like that way you totally can play the strategy where if you're the dealer, you just play badly and don't get sets, but you're going to lose to a regular player who's just getting lucky then.
Yeah. So if I accuse and I'm wrong, the game doesn't reset, right? Or the game does reset because then you know the other person. Should we do a minimum of four? I know we're playing with three, but do we want to do four plus?
It might be worth considering. But I don't think that that's too bad, though, because first of all, the fact that if we say you do reset and you take a negative point loss, that still means there's still a punishment for like accusing and being wrong.
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah, I think probably this works better with four players, but it's not too bad with three if we're doing.
Okay.
So. Yeah, as long as we reset as soon as an accusation is made, I think we're okay.
Okay. So, do we want to continue?
Yeah.
Playing it? Okay, so I had just discarded my ace.
Yeah, because I'm not good at... Even seven. If I... Oh, sorry. So, but just for the listeners, so right now, with our new rule set that we just discussed, I'm suspicious of Dylan. I saw him pick up and put down some weird things. But I'm really close to making a match. So if I accuse him and I'm right, I still get the point. But I'm like, I'm really close to just getting a point. So it's more beneficial for me to wait till I get my set and then accuse him, because that's 2 points. But if I'm wrong, I'm at zero, which at least so I'm not a negative one.
That's a good point. So do you get to accuse at the end of your turn? Is that like the last step? Is you going to choose to accuse or not? So then, like you said, you could do that tactic of laying down, like, you know, you have your set, then you're locked in with a point, and then you can go after someone.
Yeah, I think you can only accuse on your turn, and it can be at the end of the turn. Should we just say it's always at the end of your turn? So that's the last thing you do. So before it's the next person's turn, you have a chance to accuse.
Sure. Yeah. Let's start with that and say it's only at the end of your turn. I mean, yeah, maybe it doesn't matter if you do it in the middle, but like, yeah, it changes the tactics. So let's say at the end of the turn to start.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. So minus one if wrong, plus one if right. Resets the game.
And this is also an advantage to Dylan, because the longer I wait, if I know he's the dealer, the higher the chance he could get himself another set.
Exactly.
So I could say he has one. If I'm right, we'll both be at the same amount of points, so we can just keep going. But there's a chance if I get my five quick enough, I can have 2 points and he'll still be at one. All right, I get this. Okay.
Okay. So you want two cards?
Yes. Draw two cards. Swear. All right, I'm switching the queen, the eight for my queen. Because they're both red. So now I have 2 8s and 3 5s.
Yeah, we'll hedging see. Your bets, right? Because you could just randomly draw 2 8s and then that's free because you have 2 multicolored 5s.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dylan, what would you like to do with this 9 and this queen?
So I haven't seen anything to do with 9s and I have one, but it's not worth giving up. So I'll draw 2 now. Okay.
Oops. 1 2. He got an 8 and a queen.
And I know nothing about the 8s right now, but I have seen a queen dropped. So I don't want to drop the queen. I'm going to swap the 9 for my queen and drop the 8. It's sort of a sacrifice, but yeah, it shouldn't matter too much.
Okay. I am going to draw 2 cards.
Yeah. And now I know that like it'll be until the next round before I get another 8. Because I saw it drop, so I'm like, okay, 8s are, you know, I'll have to wait till it gets shuffled back in before I can grab another 8.
Okay, Adia,
I draw 2. So now I know I don't need to worry about 8s because I can't get a pair at this current juncture.
Well,
this is brutal.
Adia just drew the 8 of diamonds.
So I know there's so I know that there's an 8 in the discard pile. But I'll have to wait until
17.
Everyone has drawn all the rest of the cards for it to get reshuffled in, and I then have to draw it.
So now that there's no point to having 8s because you know that they're not going to come up, it's worth trading the 8 for the 10 so you have number diversity for... Well, it doesn't really matter either way. Yeah, it doesn't matter either way because you're still just looking for 5s now. As soon as you see that 8, it's whatever.
Yeah. So I think I'm just going to not do any of them because I haven't seen a 10 drop yet in the discard. I don't remember the 10. Like, if I was playing this, I'm like, I don't remember if anyone picked up a 10. If I was playing, I'd be more vigilant if anything picked up. But I don't know anything yet. I'm going to discard them until I get one that I'm like, yeah.
Do you want to discard this 8 of diamonds?
Yeah. And then...
And you want to trade this 10 of hearts for this 8 of hearts?
Yeah. Because I know I can't get the 8. But at this point, I don't know.
And you're screwing me over by guaranteeing that those two cards aren't worth anything for me because you know I can't make anything out of 8s.
Yes.
Okay. You're not.
So I'll draw 2, obviously, because I know that 8s are worthless now till the next cycle.
Okay. And you've got a 3 of hearts and a 3 of...
Double 3s is interesting.
Ooh. Okay.
So in the discard, we haven't seen any 3s or 4s, correct?
No, not yet.
So I think I'm just going to drop the 3s, actually.
You're going to just drop these straight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, yeah, I want to see if anyone else is willing to go for those. There are still 2 more 3s in the deck, but what are the odds that someone already... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I'm not interested.
That might be a bad call in real poker, but we'll see. Wow.
And there it is.
Okay, but this is great because she doesn't get to have all of them because she already chose to draw.
Yeah.
Ooh. So this is brutal. You're going to watch so many suits pass you by.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because
so
we're all looking for that.
So I'm going to keep the 7 and discard this 3 also. Adia, it's your turn.
What if we had to say?
Say what we're going for?
So, like, in the discard pile... no, because that'd be too easy to find out. Because I'm thinking in other games, you lie. And so, like, let's say I pick up and I'm like, okay, flip those over. I'll do it on my turn, essentially what I'm saying. Okay. So it's a 3 and a 4, right?
Wow.
And I know all the 3s are in there, so and no one can get them. So my chances of potentially getting them up are high. So I'm gonna, and I drew these, and then I'm gonna discard my 8 for the 3.
Okay, hold on.
And I think, what if you had to say which you did? I was like, I discarded for same color, or I discolored for same type. But I feel like that might reveal too much information. But it would give a little more information. No, I think that'd be too much.
No, I think that's okay. I think it's okay because, first of all, you know, the lying will still be not totally obvious unless you're really good at counting these. Because just verbally saying that, you know, you would have to keep a record of which one each person did. So, like, yeah, maybe someone's like crazy good at this would be able to figure it out. But that doesn't seem too bad. Like,
well, no,
I like that declaration thing. I like that sort of like that gives you something to go on. Because honestly, yeah, right now the problem is just that my advantage is not nearly good enough to warrant like accusing me in an average game. Like right now I happen to be winning, but I haven't honestly won that much off of the cheat plays. I've been just getting lucky draws anyway. So having those things might highlight the cheat plays a little more.
Right, yeah. Then you also kind of know what people are, but then it reveals if someone's going for a number. Because if you like said, I'm trading for same number and you put down a 10, you're like...
Ooh, that's true, because you do get information on what goes into their hand.
Yeah.
I don't know, I kind of like that though, because that makes same numbers really valuable to know.
Yeah.
Because then you know that they're not going for that number. Then you know that they're going for something else.
But if I keep hearing you say same number, you put down a 10, and the next thing I see, you put down a set of 2s, and I'm like, that doesn't add up.
Exactly. And then you should, that makes sense. But yeah, having more ways to call the dealer seems fair.
Okay.
All right. So I have a proposal, which turns something upside down.
Okay.
What if we make this an actual casino game where everybody's essentially showing their cards?
Ooh, what do you mean? Explain.
Except for the dealer. So that's their advantage, is they don't have to show their cards. And they're the house.
So
then
how do we, when it comes to scoring points, how are we going to game mechanicize that, to put it like crappily? How do we get points off of the dealer when we know who they are?
Okay, so this was a this is not having a secret role.
Okay.
Well,
yeah. So how do you score points off the dealer? Just have more matches than them.
So you're just stating a purely like a table versus dealer sort of scenario. So like blackjack, yep, where everyone else, you are trying to do your collective luck against someone who doesn't have to play by the rules.
Mm. Yep, who can keep their cards hidden. So like if they see that you're going for sixes, they may keep a six in their hand, but it means that they don't get to make a pair with that thing.
Mm.
But I would see Adia's cards, and I would see my cards, and Dylan would be secret dealer. Or he would have hidden cards and be the dealer.
Yeah. I like this, but I want to add it more interesting. Not more interesting, sorry. I like the idea. I want to add an augmentation. So this is like a yes and. That after you put down a match, the dealer rotates. So if Dylan had put down the two, then you became the dealer until another match is made, and then it goes to the other person. So it doesn't have to be technically Dylan who puts down a match. If you can put down a match before the dealer does, then the role switches. And so your goal is to take advantage as much as you can while you're the house.
Uh-huh.
I think that can work. But I think if we do that, we need to have more blatant dealer powers. Because right now, the dealer's power is okay. You know, it's not not great, not terrible. But once we have the dealer be obvious, we have no need to make them play the same as anyone else. So the rules should be different for them, because the idea would be that, like, you know, for example, if I see that, you know, if I am the dealer, and so you two know that I am, and you can tell that I'm probably going to make a set pretty fast, it would be beneficial for, like, say, for Adia to make a set as fast as possible to shift the dealer to Dale so that I can play my set that I made while I was a dealer, and then it shifts to Adia. So that if we're going to be doing this where the dealer just switches, you're going to have your on time and your off time, you know, because really when you're the dealer, you're going to be you should have more options, and that's going to be when you're going to be scoring. But because you can score when you're not the dealer, you can essentially use that, like, time your drops to push the dealership around. And in this case, then I would suggest that we make it not mandatory to drop when you have four.
Ooh, what do you mean?
For exactly this reason. So if Adia has four and I am the dealer.
Yeah, you're bringing it back to you faster.
Yeah, that's the idea, is that, like, Adia would want to hold on to her set, because I, as the dealer, am almost certainly going to make a set on my turn. Let's just say that we up the odds so that it's much more likely to make a set on your turn as a dealer. If Adia has four and I play my four, like I finish my dealer turn and pass it to Dale, Dale only has one round to make a four, or Adia gets to drop hers and immediately pass it to Adia, and then both of the other players don't have those powers all the way around, so Adia gets to go, like, gets to immediately score and then take the next turn as the dealer.
Okay.
I see what you're saying. That has to, like, that's also me banking that someone's
so it's
close to making a match.
Right. So it's a bet about how close you think the dealer is to making a match. Because if you see someone who is, like, you know, like, so if I'm the dealer and then I immediately, like, you know, cash out and, like, you know, put my set in and draw new cards, I'm at the lowest state. So you know that there's a probable chance that if I immediately get dealer again, I'm not going to be able to put something together in one round. And that gives you a chance to push it.
Okay. Mm. I am going to reshuffle this all, and we're going to start anew with this version. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Cool. See, look at how nicely I got those to be arranged. Oh, and then I'm going to mess it up.
For the viewers at home, she said, look how nicely I got those arranged, and then completely missed the second set. Oh, my eyes aren't what they used to be. I can barely tell what these cards are. Okay.
You have...
What is the spade? That's a seven of spades. Okay.
Yeah.
Mamma mia.
Okay, are we going to play for Adia?
Because then the house can watch you and they can be like, that was an illegal move.
Well, but no one has been making... The problem so far has not been making illegal moves. It's the fact that no one has to make illegal moves to win. So Adia, obviously... Oh, she has nothing. That's rough. So let's draw two, then.
Oh, I'm going to draw two. Flip. Ooh! Yay!
Yeah, trade the 10 for sure.
I would, but I can't.
The cards say no.
I return.
Hi, we're playing your turn. You managed a pair of aces.
Hey!
Okay.
So, recap for me. As I went to use the restroom.
Dale's the dealer.
You're the dealer. Okay.
Yep, and then, you did not pick up this queen or two of things. And then... Okay. And then,
did we change the rules or the advantages or anything like that? Do I still have to play by same? And
yep.
Yeah, so far we haven't changed the rules at all. We're just hiding the dealer's cards.
Okay.
And showing everybody else's. Okay. And then Dylan, you're like, I like fives. And you did not throw out a five. You threw out a 10. So I'm going to take two cards, right?
Wow, that's exactly how I sound.
Oh, sorry. I'm Dylan Skurvitz. I got a five.
You forgot my boyfriend.
Okay.
I want the five.
Yep.
But I can't get it. So I'm going to trade the six for the six and then the five for that six.
Okay. Okay. So there you go. Congratulations. You now have three fives. Okay. Now it's my turn. You can't see my cards.
Can you see yours?
Yeah. Yes. No, not without showing you. Don't look.
Okay, I'm not looking.
All right, I'm closing my eyes.
Flip. You know what? Turns out I suck at this thing. Okay, now I remember what I'm going for.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to draw two cards. I'm going to put them in my hand, and I don't have to show you.
But you did show me, and I have to look away dramatically.
No, you don't have to look away dramatically. You just have to. Okay, I'm going to throw that one away. No, I'm not going to throw that one away. I can see your cards. I'll throw this one away. And I'm going to throw this one away. Okay. Adia, your turn. You know nothing. Okay. Oh, do you want to pick up this 9 or the 7?
I think I'll do the black 9 for the 7.
Okay. Very good. Trade me.
Oh, I am boned already because I'm Adia Dylan has 5.
Boned already.
Oh wait.
Can we change the intro to that?
So here, there's a good thing. Okay, so I was when you were in the powder room, I was talking to Dale about the people who aren't the house having synergy, and so there could be a mode. So this could be the original mode, but I was saying there could be a mode where like it's the house, it's the dealer versus everyone else, and so if I know I have your five, I can't give it to you, but I can. Legally discard it, and then you could then pick it up on your turn. Because it'll go to you after me before it goes right. To Dale.
And then I would like, but the problem with this though is that honestly, if you ask me which side has the advantage now, if we do that, if it is the two of us versus the dealer and we're showing hands, then the dealer has a significant disadvantage. Because it means we have essential. We're playing with 10 cards, and the dealer is only playing with 5, and we draw 4, and the dealer draws 2. So we get way together. We should be able to beat the dealer every time this way.
Really?
Because we know what the dealer is discarding, so we know at least what things they don't want. We can build around the things that they discard as soon as they do and capitalize them. But the number of available cards for the dealer is always going to be 9, right? Yeah. 5 plus 2 for the draw and 2 for the discard. For us, it's 14, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, never mind then. But yes, continue. Ew.
Okay.
So whose turn is it?
It's Dylan's. I'm Dylan Skirbitz, and I'm already boned.
So I'm Dylan, and I know that I don't have a shot at the fives this round unless, I don't know, unless Adia has to discard the five to pick something up.
Yeah.
But there's no point in me going at, well.
And I could sit and just hold the five and be like, okay, I know you need a five.
Right, exactly. So you can punish me for that.
But unless I,
but I have no reason to give up those fives yet because I'm betting that you are going to have to, because you are only going to have one card left when you get a set, right? So that five is either going to be that one card or it's going to have to get rid of. And especially because of the colors of your other cards, I think I have a pretty good shot that you're going to want to trade that card for either a black ace or a black nine because you need at least one of those.
Yeah.
So I'm inclined to hold on to the fives and just, I can't pick up both sevens, which is what I really want to do. So I'll just draw then.
Okay. Here come your cards. There you go. What'd you like to do?
Well, now we have the other side of this coin, like you were talking about, Adia. We may not work together, but we can still bargain. I'll take the queen and the nine. Now let's talk trades. You want to drop that nine, that five for me? I might consider dropping that nine.
Oh, yeah, but can Adia ever pick up that nine?
Well, no, she never can. Not in the current state, she can't. Unless we do have a rotating dealer.
Uh-huh.
Or rotating play. So yeah, part of this is the problem with the three-player games just being a little bit asymmetrical right now. But that's not going to go away with four people.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, if we allow trades, I think that also, once again, like, it essentially makes the dealer the weakest person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because, like, if you, you can't just trade directly. You would have to discard it. I would either pick it up or I would discard two on top of it, locking it.
What if every time we did a trade, the dealer got to draw two?
Nope. I think that that's, I feel like that's too much. That's not, I'm sorry.
No. I disagree entirely. I think all of this, currently the weak part of this game is that we don't have a good enough reason to want to be the dealer. Because in this state, like everyone has so much power because the cards are visible that like, being the dealer doesn't benefit me that much because the real like pool is essentially mine and Adia's hands.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And if you're going for something, sure, you may be able to, we don't know what you have, but like, you're right, you don't have enough power.
Exactly, because Adia still is completely cut off. Whatever cards Adia is playing, Dale doesn't have access to, as we pointed out, like pretty much period, because there's always that intermediary. So the dealer needs something. They need either to draw more cards in that situation, or they need to just draw more cards in general, or they need to be able to pick up more cards. So there needs to be something else to give it that unfair edge. Because right now, I don't need to be the dealer to play this game.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. So what would you like to do, Dylan?
I have six cards, right? So I need to drop. I said I was picking up the queen and the three, right? So I want to drop the king.
Okay. Oh, you're picking up the queen and the nine. Well, you can still drop the king. Okay, great. I am going to. Do I need a king? I don't remember because I'm a bad dealer.
Oh, we gonna look away again.
I mean, you don't have to look away.
Well, I mean, it doesn't technically matter because we're theorizing.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick up that king. Okay, and now you guys know I like kings, and then I'm gonna put down this eight.
Why did that go to the bottom of the pile?
I don't know. Tabletop Simulator. Okay, so you have the option of an eight. This eight, in fact.
Or a what?
Or a king. Nope, not a king. Or a whatever else you picked up.
We just need to keep track of what's in the discard because we have this two card rule. So, like, we need a discard and then, like, an in-play discard, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Like, an on-deck discard? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, like, those two can sit out there. There's always, like, that's the pool sitting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay. What would you like to do, Adia?
Well, I know you have the 5, so I'm not going to get the 5. You have a 9, so I have a higher chance of trying to go for the 6 or the 8. I don't remember what's in the deck, but I know you don't have it. I think I'm going to trade my 5 for the 6.
You got it. Oops, I have to put this in the on deck. There you go.
I thought okay. I had 3 fives. Did I not have 3 fives at the beginning of this?
I thought you did.
My name is Dune. Yeah.
Is one of the cards hidden in the
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, that's what I thought. So I do need to get rid of an extra card because I'm at 6.
Oh,
so.
There you go. You
but I don't I want to hold on to the 9. So yeah, get rid of the 3 for now. Okay. So now I have my 5 cards. I have 3 fives and there's a 5 on there. Okay, so if I grab this 5 and swap it for my 9.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Goodbye, 9.
Now I have a set. Yep. What happens? Does the dealer switch when I drop this set?
If we're playing on the at-home game, yes, it does. So would you like to drop your set?
Okay. So I want to go ahead. I'm going to cash in my 5s and draw a new hand then.
Okay, there you go. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5. Okay.
Then yeah, but I still think Dylan's right. We have to think about this.
Okay.
You had 0 advantage there.
None.
See, for you knew what not to get.
Yep.
And all of my advantage came from Adia's cards anyway. I wasn't You're playing right. essentially because Dale is the dealer. I'm not playing Dale at all, weirdly.
No.
It just means that I'm focused on Adia because she's the one dropping cards for me and yep. I can see her hand. So, there needs to be some reason. So the more we've gone around this with the hidden dealer, if we're going to do it this way and have like a rotating, either a rotating dealer or just a hidden cards dealer, we really need to give the dealer like something big. Should they draw 4 cards or something like that? Like maybe that's extreme, but I'm just trying to think like how much more can we make it valuable to be the dealer?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say, would having 9 cards change the game? Because you have a whole lot more to play around with, or 7 cards. So you could be holding 3 and 3 and 1. And so you can make sets more easily just because you can hold more in your hand.
Actually, I would like to make a different proposal.
Okay.
What if, as the dealer, we can decide whether or not whether the dealer has to follow the rules of same color or same number. But the dealer can play the other 2 players' cards because they're open. So I can trade, if I'm going for 9s and Adia is going for 9s and I'm the dealer, I can trade one of my cards for Adia's 9 that's in her hand.
Oh.
So then, while you're the dealer, you are just rampantly screwing over the other players as much as possible to get your set, and then it switches to the next person who's going to try and do the same thing. So this lessens the effect, like lessens how much it matters that the dealer's cards are hidden, especially if it's transferring round and round. But then it makes the dealer way more able to make trades, and more specifically, to stymie like the goals of the other players.
Mm-hmm.
And with this thinking, then this starts to make it much more like players versus dealer, because then the only way to make sets when the dealer has these powers is to work together. Because the only way that we're going to get something together is if Adia and I can work together to get cards before the dealer has a chance to take them away from us.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I like that. So I'm going to propose something that you are both going to reject.
Okay.
Let's write those down as rules. And then let's quit because I want to go take a nap.
That's fair. We have been at this for a while. I think this is really interesting. I like this this concept, though.
Uh-huh.
I do like this concept.
I never thought that the first game type I would immediately gravitate towards is like a cheat your friends game. Because like, especially in video games, like I don't play Among Us. That is not my life. I have enough problems without getting mad at my friends for lying to me about petty stuff. Like, yeah. It's very funny that that's instantly the thing that I was like, yeah, we can really do that.
Right? No, but I think this was like a really good
it was a fun
prototyping, brainstorming session. Like, I thought this was very, very cool. But do we have a full game? Not really. Do we need one? No, we're the Evil Games Club.
Do we care?
It's just really fun to make up card games. Like, as I brought back to my childhood, it's just a blast.
Oh, but
okay,
I do want to do, if we do this again, I want to make a choose your own adventure game. And like, you guys can help me choose the passes for that. And I want to rate it. Write it. So then, and we can just like release it and be like, here you guys go. You can play this.
Okay, oh, but I want to really say, I totally agree. And even more, I think that that's totally much more in our wheelhouse, because like the three of us, besides Adia, are not like, we're not nearly as like specced into the actual game designing thing as the main Nice Games Club. Like I personally, I've written music for a couple games. I've done some design docs, but like, yeah, I don't make games regularly. Mm-hmm. But like, that's such a great thing, because the things we have on our side are long-windedness and the ability to write stuff down. Like, this, that's a way better, like, that's our wheelhouse. We could totally just be like, hey, one of these days, long form, sit down, everyone buckle up, 6 hours, we're going to have a game at the end of it. Because with like with that kind of game, we could literally do that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. One player is the dealer. The dealer gets to hide their cards. Each player is dealt 5 cards. And then on their turn, each player can...
Yeah. Ooh. One thing to help the discard pile, if we're doing a collaborative thing, do we want to do it that, like, as you go around, the discard in play pile stays there until it's the dealer? And after the dealer's turn, that all goes back in. So if I know that like two away from me needs a 6, I could put it in the discard pile so that when it's their turn, they can pick it up.
Yeah, if we're thinking about expandability, I like that. When you have 4 or more players, that will dramatically increase the ability of the players to like tactically think. But thinking about expanding this, we would probably need to introduce a commensurate ability on the dealer's side. Because once again, as soon as you have 4 players, then you have 2 players who can line up stuff for another player, and it becomes way harder as the dealer to shut other people down while still scoring. So, like, for every other player, the dealer should, like, get to draw more cards or something, you know?
Okay. Some of that. But for now, we'll just do the 3-player version.
Yes. Okay, it'll just say for now, yeah. This is only designed for the ASL team, and...
Okay. Okay, if the player's the dealer, they can pick up 2 cards from any player.
I'm just going to go ahead and whip up like a little graphic for us, you know, so when we're designing then, stuff as ASL Studio, like we'll just be able to drop that right in front of the game.
Then discard the number, discard or return. So if I'm the dealer and I pick 2 from Adia's hand, I would have to give her 2 different cards.
Hey, this is your nice editor, Ellen. And we're going to skip ahead here a little bit because this is the portion of the recording where we are typing rules into Google Docs. And it's important, but you don't have to listen to it because they're already typed up and you can just go look at the rules on our website, nicegames.club. So jumping ahead to where the funnies start up again.
All right. So I think we got enough though talking about it. Like, I think this is a good like first attempt to do it. I've never done a game jam in like this talking form where I wasn't like, okay, here's the code and I'm programming stuff. Like, this was really cool prototype playing it out with like just what we had available and kind of thinking about it from that perspective.
Yeah. No, for real. Like, from my game jam experience, this is like 6 times longer than I ever spent on actual like conceptualizing of a game. And because like, yeah, in a game jam, this is like 10 minutes and then you're like, I need assets in Unity now.
Okay. Goal is to get more match, is to work with your other casino, you know, Patreons.
They have a Patreon?
No. Oh, they do, yes. But I guess it's patrons in this case, because you're going to the casino. Patrons. To make more matches than the dealer. While having fun.
Congratulations, we've invented mean go fish.
Very much so.
Okay. I mean, that could be a concept. What if Go Fish is at the casino?
Now I'm just picturing like toddlers in vests and fedoras, like sipping mocktails and dropping 20s.
Yeah, well, when we were rotating, you know, with Secret Dealer, I was going to call it Who's the Brick House?
Now that song's just stuck in my head.
Exactly. Literally, I just finished it. She's Mighty Mighty, and she's letting it all hang out.
Now you know what I've been singing to myself this whole podcast. Okay, we'll call this game Casino Go Fish.
Casino Go Fish.
Evil Games Out.
Evil Games Out. We need to end more things like that. We should literally, that's how we should end the podcast. Is Evil Games Out, and literally, like, that's the end. Nothing else.
Okay. Okay, so we wrote up all the rules. They're available for you with the show notes on the website.
We call this game Casino Go Fish. Evil Games Out.
Okay, now we can stop the recording. Good job.
Yay.
We don't have to do an outro?
No, I was just going to end it like that.
That's okay.
Good enough. They've been listening this long. They know where to go.
Yeah, literally. The audience and the editors are just like, thank you.
And this takes a lot less time or a lot more time to play than blackjack, so you have more time to drink your gin and tonic.
Very true.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.